you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Monday. Looking at the calendar, it's June 11th, 2017. I should know what day it is by the Hope in Christ Area Revival. I've been kind of tracking that every day. We're just over the halfway point. In fact, Irvin Williams with Restoration Urban Ministries preached a powerful message last night, and you can hear him again tonight. It's the 11th, so he'll conclude his 2 days tonight in Arthur, Illinois, 7 p.m. at the Hope in Christ Area Revival, hopeinchristillinois.com. You can find out more at hopeinchristillinois.com. A lot of powerful testimonies and sharing. I've watched a couple of them the nights I couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. I watched it on Facebook. They're archived, and you can watch it live. And so I know a lot of people have gotten some good feedback, and I was watching the other day one of the speakers, an altar call, and people going forward and kneeling, and just a lot of power. And one of the reasons we have this special guest in the studio is because he's from them there parts, as they say. He's from down south, the Mattoon area, actually. And I've known Bob, what has it been, like 20-some years at least?
Well, yeah, clear back in 94.
94, so 23, 24 or so years.
Ago.
Long time ago. And you've been praying for revival. You've had your own personal revival throughout the years.
Amen.
Following the Lord, where, like many of us, we accept Him as Lord and Savior. I think that's kind of an easy thing. We come to a point of crisis, or we recognize we're sinners.
Yeah.
It baffles me how anyone, maybe even if they don't know God, cannot think at some point they failed, they've fallen short, there's sin in their lives.
Any honest person would
you
know
think that.
That.
And so it wasn't hard for me, and I shared this a little last week when Jason, I guess I last Friday, said, everyone try to remember that point when you recognize yourself as a sinner. And I knew exactly. Covenant Harbor in Wisconsin, at a church camp. I think I was 9, 10, or 11.
Really?
Under a star-filled sky, there was a message preached. We as a little small group of 8 or 9 or 10-year-old boys went to the campfire. A counselor continued to speak and share, talked about Jesus dying for our sins, and I got it. I started crying, as did about 5 other boys. And I said this on Friday, boys don't cry in front of other boys.
Little group
you just
boys
don't do
crying.
That.
Yes. That's
but
precious.
It was the conviction of the Holy Spirit. We knew we were sinners. We knew we needed a Savior. Yeah. I clearly remember asking Jesus Christ into my heart, forever changing me.
Yeah.
In fact, my mom and family said when I returned home, I was all fired up. And they said, the pastor said, my mom said, this guy, all he's talking about Jesus and being saved. And the pastor said, it'll wear off after a while. And like a year later, I was still pretty energized
Mark,
and fired up.
Has.
So I don't think so. There's been some times there's some backsliding, I'd say.
Sure.
Or maybe not living up to the potential. But I share all that because I know that's somewhat true of you, Bob, that there's been points where it's like, Lord, I want to be sold out. I want to follow you, and yet that's not always the case. I think that's probably true for most all of us at some points. But you even prayed that moments ago in your prayer that, Lord, I want to finish well. I want to be sold out. I want to be 100% following you. And so I wanted to have you in today because you have a perspective of being a senior saint. You have a real heart for this revival that's happening in the Arthur area. You're from those parts. And yet you've been involved in Promise Keepers and traveled up north here to
Amen.
The Champaign-Urbana area and involved yourself with Promise Keepers and other events. So maybe as a way of sharing with the radio listening family, tell us a little of your faith journey.
I was brought up in the church. Mom and Dad, and especially her mother, they were all great Christians.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as I grew older and started to realize, Grandma, well, she had some difficulties because Grandpa wasn't quite as true as he should have been.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
he was of a different faith, and I won't mention that because, you know, it's wrong, perhaps. But that way it didn't work out. But he did stay true to her as far as providing.
Mm-hmm.
And God blessed them. They had oil in southern Illinois, some of the first oil.
Really?
Well, that's brought a lot of money into the family, which was a blessing. And then Grandpa bought some other farms around and had the one boy, and there were the two girls. But in that, raising cattle and stuff, he became quite affluent. My mother, Grandma, and my mom both talking about him going down to Dallas, Texas, to the big auction for cattle. And one time we did, my wife and I went down to that area, and we went to the dockyards where they actually had it, and Grandma enjoyed that. We took both my mother and her mother various times since we were married on vacations with us.
So part of your faith journey, this grandfather, he was a follower of Jesus, so did he have a positive influence on you, or did the wealth maybe stain or derail his walk with the Lord?
I think it was his background, as I said, what church.
Okay.
He just wasn't a true Christian. It was more Grandma.
So she had a positive impact on you entertaining the idea that there was a God who loves you, or did it seem like she had a personal relationship or was religious?
It was all a relationship we had was because he and Grandma didn't live together anymore.
Mm.
And I only saw him just a few times. So it was just as though Grandpa wasn't there.
Sure,
he was aside.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was very unfortunate. On my dad's side, Grandpa and Grandma still lived together way out in the country. And we'd go and visit. And Dad was one of four boys and one daughter. And my dad and another brother were both school teachers. And, you know, they taught pretty close to each other down in some of the southern part of the state. So we had family get-togethers and stuff.
So who was instrumental or influential in leading you into understanding about God and Jesus?
Dad and Mom.
Okay.
We moved because of being a school teacher, not getting very much pay back in those days. You know, when he got an opportunity maybe to go and better himself at another job, we moved from southern Illinois way down Mount Carmel area on up as far as Alney and Effingham. And I graduated from school there in Alney and was active in the church and interdenominational youth group and such.
So that oil money didn't trickle down towards your family, huh?
No, it helped Mom.
Sure.
Now, I might say that just a few years ago, there was a company wanted to lease some of the land, and we were still able to get some for each one of us boys.
Well, that's good.
it wasn't big, but yet, hey, it came as a blessing.
Yeah.
Sure.
But going on, Dad had always been, and Mom both, a strong Christian.
I'm going to pause just for a minute here because, you know, there's people tuning in from all walks of life, all backgrounds. And when you say a good Christian, what's a good Christian? What would you define, or what does it mean that somebody's a good Christian?
You know, that's a real good question.
Yeah. You're putting me on the spot here before a few 100,000 people. No,
I've got my idea that I think it comes from the Lord.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what a lot of us sitting in the church are. And I've come to realize that more and more as I'm growing older.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's given me more wisdom. I didn't have enough sense quite a ways back to read the Bible and find out if you want wisdom, you ask God for it. He'll give it to you.
That's great scripture.
Look at what he did with Solomon. But, of course, even he stumbled some. But the whole thing is, a good Christian has to be, when it's a true believer, a true follower, wants to have a relationship with Christ.
Right.
Not just that play the game. There's way too much of that, and I don't see I haven't been there. I know that I fail quite a bit, especially with my own children and on grandchildren, by not always being there when I should, or being perhaps as firm as I should, and teaching about Christ and how important it was to have a personal relationship with him. So that's why I would say it probably began more after this second marriage. She was a good Christian, not before she met me. It wasn't me that did it. It was Grandma, her grandma. But she finally realized, because she'd gone through a bad marriage, that there was more. Tried to salvage that marriage with the first husband, going to church some, but it didn't seem to do good at all. it was somewhat of an abusive type thing, and she had to get out of it. She had the baby boy and such. So I came along when the boy was about 6 years old, and he needed a man in his life. And I like to think I was, or am, but it goes on through all sorts of things, and all families have this. If they only mention what's in the closet, you know, a skeleton, as they call it sometimes. And I think that's what has happened with so many people, too busy trying to make ends meet. As the Bible tells us, we really didn't need some of those things. I've done quite a few things like that. But I'd say one of the greatest blessings is when I did get a little bit more serious after her and started going to church more, working with some of the young people groups and even children's church and things like that. And then as I was thinking back, you know, a few months ago here, about back in 1994, I believe it was, it was after Urbana missionary meeting. It would have been Urbana 94, I guess.
Urbana 93, that December, right into 94.
Okay,
kind of
that
ends
was it.
On New Year's Eve, yep.
And that's when you, in 93, were walking out there on the campus, and I ran into you, and we got to talking about a little bit of some of the things I've gone over already, and mentioning how much I felt like I ought to be doing more and so on. And you said, well, hey, we're going to be going to one group now. It's called Promise Keepers. And he says, there's going to be a group of us from here, Champaign area, and we need volunteers.
Yep.
So I said, well, let me talk to the wife. We just might volunteer. Well, in pursuing it further, we found out that over there, there was a place where we could put our camping trailer right there to the west side of the RCA Dome, as it was called at that time.
That was in Indianapolis?
In Indianapolis.
Yeah, yeah.
It had a place to plug right into, electricity and everything there. And I remember that real well.
Yeah, that was a unique time in my life. It was prior to the radio ministry getting launched. Through circumstances, I was done with Jewel, the Urbana Missions Convention. The radio station hadn't started yet. So for a short period of time, I worked at the Champaign-Urbana Convention and Visitor Bureau. And they knew my interest in Promise Keepers, and they were hoping that we could bring a big event to the Assembly Hall. But better yet, they were hoping for the Memorial Stadium. And so they let me do a lot of coordinating and call-making, because I coordinated 500 guys for the Indianapolis conference. So I had 10 busloads of 50 guys. Hey, there was a lot of coordinating of people, but I supplied 500 ready-made volunteers for that event. And you were one of the many men. I had a hotel rented. I had a campus building that we used all the floors and the accommodations, and had a gymnasium to house these 500 men. I mean, it was a huge undertaking.
Yeah.
And I had to feed them. Anyways, it was a couple days, but it was a great event. And then we all volunteered together. And so where did you sleep? Do you remember? Was it in the dorm? Was it in the gymnasium or in the hotel? Remember?
Nope. That's right.
You did the camper.
Yeah.
We had the camper. She was able to work in a bookstore.
Okay.
But we went on, and I went on coming up here with you. I believe it might have been at the Vineyard or different places, and we took training. Remember?
Yeah.
I was working towards an ambassador at that time.
Right.
I know you taught quite a few of the lessons and such as that. Mm. But we not only did that, we went on. I went to Louisville, Kentucky for one, two or three of them in St. Louis. We really loved doing it. And my wife, I remember in the St. Louis area, she had not only been to the bookstore, but they asked her to help count the money at the end. So I waited around sometimes for her, but they appreciated that so much that they invited all the workers like that. And of course, I went along as her husband. And we had
rode in on her coattails, as they said.
Yeah, that's what that happened.
Had a big banquet down there because of that one time when they had, well, it had been 2 years that she'd been working it, I know. And of course, I met so many good
people. Well, let's go back. So 24 or so years ago, God's stirring in your heart. You're feeling like you're maybe not measuring up or living up to what you want to be as a Christian. You're attending Promise Keepers. You're seeing that God does value what you want to give Him, you know,
that's
whether
right.
it's a little or a lot. And so you're kind of reconnecting or recommitting your life to Christ. So take us on that journey. So 24 years ago, you're feeling like Promise Keepers is being used of God to bring healthy conviction and awareness and insight into, I want to serve you, Lord, more frequently. And you even prayed that today. You want to finish well. So what made the difference 24 years ago to have you say, Lord, use me in a variety of ways?
Well, before the end of the first marriage, met a gentleman, and we later moved to Effingham, and he was the minister, and we only lived a couple blocks down the street. I worked at World Color Press, and the Church of God was right across the street. And in meeting that fellow, and I'd drive down. We were living in Kansas, Illinois at that time. On Saturday mornings, I'd go down just to be with some of the men, 6 o'clock in the morning for prayer, and then we'd go out and have breakfast. And that man helped me to understand more of what I should be doing, and especially in helping you better understand the Holy Spirit, which we definitely need and have learned is that God gives it at the time of true salvation. Now, I put the word true in there because so many, and I'm not even sure about myself because I didn't understand it back at that age 12 when I first went. Or like you, I went to church camps and might say even went forward and rededicated my life, but not knowing and fully understanding. And hey, I was too busy to read the Bible like I should and get into group studies and such. But at that time, he was such a blessing to me. And even when we split up, he and his wife, we tried to reconcile, but it had been long enough with several things throughout the life. It was almost 20 years that we'd been married, 25, I guess. But anyway, in that separation, I was really totally lost otherwise. I didn't know what to do hardly, because getting married at 20, you know, you are so used to what's going on. And fortunately, the other children, all except the youngest one, were all out and gone or married. But the thing was, I just knew I wasn't right. So I started on that journey. But it wasn't until about a year later, when I met the present wife, I started getting more serious. And even after that, I was still too busy working.
It just seems so appropriate that you have been so instrumental in something called Hope in Christ. I mean, your journey, that's kind of it could be a title for your journey in life.
Well, the thing that amazes me, that is right there in Eastside Church in the Nazarene, we had a minister came about 4 years ago, and I can't remember which year it was, but he came up talking about hope in Christ. I don't know whether there was a movement with that name or not. I can't remember, because I'm getting old enough that I forget things too quick. But the thing is, for that to happen and come up with this same name here, I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, Well, we all know God's constantly at work, constantly wooing us all to himself. And like you, Bob, one of the reasons Marianne and I thought you would be nice to have in the interview, there's many parallels we can all draw from failing, falling short, not living up to expectations, or following Christ and then failing and not measuring up, not living out what we know we want to. But again, it's not really about us. It's about what the Lord did on our behalf.
Absolutely.
It's us receiving that gift. It's a free gift that we can earn, not by work, so that no one can boast. You know, if we could pull it all off, we would pat ourselves in the back and feel pretty good about ourselves. And as Jason says many times, for all have sinned. We've all fallen short. We all missed the mark. And so, kind of a reminder for all of us, the blessing is we have a new day to invite Christ to work in and through us. We can surrender at him, knowing he's in charge. He allows us to put on the full armor so that we can take our stand, but our stand is not in our strength, it's in him.
Yes, amen.
And so, in case you just tuned in, we have Bob Couch here in the studio, lives in the Mattoon area, has been married to lovely Hulda for 42 years. I think you said you have 7 children, one's with the Lord now, but 6 that are living throughout the country.
And about 27 grandchildren.
27 grandchildren. So
a dozen or so great-grandchildren.
Wow.
And we have now 2, just in the last year or 2, great.
That's fantastic.
That's excellent.
See, I'm 86, so you know, those things.
Are you?
86 years young, in fact. I think you just stopped delivering papers or something within the last year or so.
Well, 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Okay, a year or so, the 2 years.
I'm so thrilled to be able to keep on doing things for the Lord. I'm having trouble, you know, with some things. My back, I have, or my wife said, well, just straighten up, you know.
Oh, great.
Well, you try, but...
That sounds like usually a man says that. Just straighten up. Just bear with it.
Come on.
Well, she means it. in more than one way, I know. But the back, because of your bending, you know, and the spine, and we all know those things happen. But praise God, Monday night, I went forward for prayer for that back. And I believe God's starting to heal.
Oh, praise God.
Because when I went home, you know, after sitting there and standing sometimes when I could, it didn't bother me as much. And I went to bed and woke up better than I do most mornings.
Praise God.
So I'm just trusting for full, if God so wills, that. And I like to think back about Promise Keepers. Not only did we get those things started, if you remember rightly, or maybe it will come back to you, in the Charleston, Mattoon area, we formed a group. There was a fellow or two from KZ, one from south of Charleston, at a little country church, some from Charleston, two or three of us right there in Mattoon. And we'd alternate 1 month, have a big meeting in Mattoon, and another month, one in Charleston. We had, at that time, it would have been the police chief. And then,
Don Carter? Or no, that was from Champaign-Urbana. He was very involved in some of the Promise Keeper events early on.
That would have been. He came down and spoke to us. We had the gentleman, and I'll never remember names very well, but he was with Parkland College, black fellow. I'm not sure what he's, whether he's still living or not, but got him. We had, I'm trying to think.
So God used the Promise Keeper movement.
Oh, yeah. We used local ministers, too, who had gotten involved. And then that 1 year, when they had that Million Man March, they were getting those busloads up all around. And I was fortunate to go ahead and get one besides the two or three others that went from Mattoon.
You've been involved in a lot of things. I just want to personally thank you for being involved in this revival. Thank you.
And speaking of the revival, it continues tonight with Irvin Williams, Restoration Urban Ministry. You can expect to have some great preaching from him. And then it'll continue through the 17th. So the next few days throughout this week in Arthur, Illinois, starting at 7 p.m. You can find out more at Hope in Christ, Illinois. HopeInChristIllinois.com. And that's the hope that all three of us share, that Jesus Christ was sent by God the Father to redeem us, to provide a pathway to God the Father. He can forgive our sins as we draw on Him and what He did on our behalf. It's an unbelievable gift that God has given us so that we can secure eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn all about it tonight at the Hope in Christ Area Revival. Keep your radio tuned to one of our four frequencies, and I'm sure the messages of music or the teaching programs will help you in that relationship. Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. Thanks for listening.
Amen.
Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Simpkins and Bob Couch with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.